as he was praying, as Deacon Avante was praying, how many of you this week were troubled? No, seriously, I'm not playing. How many of you had a difficult week where you were troubled? Put your pride down, folk. Some of you are troubled and you won't raise your hand. God can't help you. Once more, how many this week had a very troubling and difficult week? I want you to come right up here. Come on. God says you have not because you ask not, but also you ask amiss. See, many times you want the blessings more than you want the blesser. We want the miracles, but we don't want the miracle worker. This is God's house. It really is. We are just partakers. This is God's house. Tear down the walls. Let God have his way. God is awesome. Have a message. It's all about God. We think it's all about us. We just need to count it a privilege that God wants to be a part of who we are. My title is, I'm bleeding. Help me. I'm bleeding. Help me. There's power only in His blood. Hallelujah. We say a lot of things in our walk with God, we who've been saved for a minute or two. But sometimes we forget the reality of it is because of the blood of Jesus Christ. We plead the blood. We call on the blood. The blood washes us and cleanses us. But really, what does that mean? We say things. Matthew 26, verse 27 through 28. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it, and break it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it unto them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, New Covenant, which is shed for many for the remissions of sins. And we've heard these scriptures throughout the years. But I will tell you many times in many of the churches, it is just words. You could even go as far as saying that many times it's a religious thing that we do. I truly believe, as I was praying in the back this morning, and we must understand that we are soldiers, we are warriors. We are more than Christians, and we are more than a conqueror. Because we have conquered. But too many walk a defeated life. We all go through struggles. See, understand you're a warrior. And being in a natural war because you have been shot or wounded, there ain't no shame in your game. You see? And we forget we are warriors, we are soldiers in the army of the Lord. And we will come under attack. Amen. We will. This is why we need God. I need God. This is why we need God. We will, you will come under attack. It's make no, the closer you want to, the closer you desire to want to come to God, get ready, get ready, get ready. It ain't like chocolate cake. Get ready. Now, some are under attack because of disobedience. See, we always want, no. There are some that are listening at my voice right now. You are under attack because of disobedience. You're out of the will of the Lord. The wages of sin. Sin is the key we give the adversary to come in and say, and do what you will. Obedience. What does it say? It's better to obey. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Jesus has gathered his disciples together for the Last Supper. As the men gathered around him, he holds up the cup and begins to explain that his blood is the new covenant. And his blood is sufficient. Whereas the blood of goats and bulls for 4,000 years never met the requirements for the fulfilling of the law. His blood, though, is sufficient. This is what he was talking about when he said that he had come to fulfill the law and to not do away with it or abolish it. He brings fulfillment of the new covenant and the old covenant. He didn't do away with it. I still can't steal. I shouldn't. I still can't covet my neighbor's wife. Should I? I shouldn't. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God. The last Lamb to have to be slain. He was the perfect Lamb. That's why we don't have to go to a priest anymore. We have the high priest, Jesus Christ, sitting on the right hand of God, interceding on our behalf.
Thank you, Lord.
Think now that I've come to destroy the law or the prophets. I have not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Matthew 5:17. Jesus Christ is the one selfless, loving act that was done what no other sacrifice had been able to do.
Hallelujah.
And will begin a new covenant with God of creation. A blood covenant that if everyone would trust in the power of the blood, they would receive everlasting life.
Amen.
There are 7 points that the blood does, though. Brings redemption, brings atonement, healing, it brings protection, deliverance, it brings strength, and it brings transformation. Sometimes we have got to back up out of our religiosity. We all can get that way sometimes. Quoting scriptures. Boom, boom, boom. Sometimes we got to back up and say, God, give me the revelation.
Amen.
Divine revelation of what your word means. See, when we receive the revelation, it has more power in our life. See, when we receive the revelation of the blood of Jesus Christ, I don't just say it. I know there's power in the blood. You can say it's power in the blood. It's only as powerful as you think it is. It says, as a man thinketh, God will never overrule you. This is why I say you got to work the word.
Hallelujah.
You got to work it and you got to walk it. I was sitting downstairs this morning in my music room, just getting prepared, and I was praying over myself, anointing myself. And I'm going to read what I felt God speak to my spirit. Sin is like a major cut that causes one to bleed. Sin is like a major cut that was healed and you have pulled the scab off. And now it is bleeding. You lose blood. Some of you have lost a cup. Some of you have lost a pint. Some of you have lost a gallon. This is what we call the spiritual hospital. You need to be refilled, renewed with the blood of Jesus Christ. You can't live without blood. Grab hold to it. You cannot live without blood. And we definitely cannot live without the blood of Jesus Christ. We can't get away from it. There is wonder working power in the precious name of the Lord God, the Lamb of God. Power to take away the sins of the world. Redemption. His blood and his blood alone has the power to redeem. Not my blood. No other person's blood. The blood of Jesus Christ is the blood that can bring forth redemption. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb of God. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Galatians. He became accursed for me. I've been redeemed. You've been redeemed. You've been redeemed. You've been redeemed. The law was hard. It was hard. It was almost a curse upon mankind. Why? Because no one could be pure enough, good enough, holy enough to obey the entire law. No one. Abraham. We know what he did. David. We know what he did. Not no one. Matter of fact, all this uproar is going on in the Middle East. You know who the culprit is? Abraham. No, Abraham. If Abraham had obeyed God, if Abraham had obeyed God and had not slept with Hagar, who bore Ishmael, all he had to do is zip his pants up or whatever he'd do. Nowhere in the scripture when Sarai, that's what her name was, he was Abram, Abram. When Sarai said, well, I got a handmaid now. You go to sleep with her. Do you see anywhere in the word where he is coming against that? The girl probably was fine, and he probably was thinking about sleeping with her beforehand. Now he had to go ahead to do it. Abraham. Boy, Ishmael. That's the beginning of all this feud. Ishmael and Isaac. No, I don't want to get off on that. That's so deep. Mankind messes up. We in this pickle because of Adam. He started the mess. Why God put up with us? Mercy, 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 mercy me. It's a merciful God. The law held men in bondage and showed every imperfection in humility. But the blood of Jesus Christ freed us from the curse of sin and death. The law has no redemption. Today, a lamb. Tomorrow, a dove. Next week, a goat. And next week, a bull. A sacrifice because of the sin. We've been dealing with this ever since Adam and Eve. Boy, I wish I could talk to them. We've been dealing with, all of us have been dealing with this struggle within us. Even Paul said that he struggled. When he want to do good, he do bad. But when he want to do bad, he's compelled to do good. It's a war going on in all of our members. Not one of us are exempt from that warfare. That's why we need Jesus. That's why I need Jesus. This, what I'm giving you today, it applies to me. Matter of fact, it probably applies even more. Understand, when we as pastors give the divine word of God, line upon line, precept upon precept, the adversary gets angry. He ain't gonna make it easy. You need to pray for us. I respect that. We need prayer. We get beat up. You think you getting beat up? The more you dedicate yourself, get ready for greater attacks. Now, like I said, some of you are going through some mess because of your disobedience. You're stiff-necked. You're stubborn. You are not willing to let God break you like a twig. You have cancerous blood in you. That's what sin is. God wants to break you, let that mess ooze out. He wants to put the pure blood of Jesus Christ. Let it flow from the top of your head, soles of your feet, and flow through all your veins. As I said, today a lamb, tomorrow a dove, next week a goat, next month a bull, could be a turkey. Killing something, sacrificing the blood. It never stopped. Constantly trying to cover the sins of a nation. The priest had to enter into the Holy of Holies once a year, every year, to sprinkle blood upon the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant to atone for the sins of the nation of Israel. For as much as we know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. But the city from Jerusalem and God was no longer separated from man by veil. But as he cried out, Jesus Christ cried out, "It is finished. It is finished." The veil was ripped from the top to the bottom. And now mankind could be redeemed by the new covenant of the blood of Jesus Christ. That is why there is no place in the ministry of Jesus Christ for pride. There is no place for pride, no place for arrogance, no place for jealousy. Why is that? Because it's all Jesus. You just happen to participate. He's just allowing you to participate in what he's doing.
That's right.
See, when you begin to walk in this carnality, you missing it.
Amen.
We missing it. We got to remove self out of the way. I just want to be in God's presence. I don't care who he used. I don't care if he used one of them babies back there. As long as God come in the house, I'm good with it. Allow him to humble you, people. God is doing something new. This is a new generation. God, I don't play with God. You either get serious for him or move out the way and let others who want to be serious for him be serious for him. If you're upset because another brother or sister is so serious for God, something wrong with your spirit. I'm telling you. If you are angry at a brother or sister because all they want to do is spend time with God and be in his presence, something wrong with you. Something wrong. It says that we are to provoke each other to good works or to righteousness. Why do you get angry if another wants to dive head first in Jesus? Why is that? That's something that you got to answer. You're going to stand before God and give an answer for this. Now, if you don't want more of God, that's fine, but you better get out my way. I'm just telling you. You saved? That's all you want? I'm good with that. But you get out of my way, because I need more of God, because I get in my own way. And I'll mess it up. If you're happy where you are, good. But don't stop others who need more of God, who want more of God. God says, this is the new covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my word into their hearts, and in their minds will I write it upon them. There is wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. Atonement. His blood has the power to reconcile mankind back to God.
Amen.
Now, I will tell you, I'm trying to be more cognizant of time. Because I'm just being honest with you. You know, boy, when you move with God, and when you lose all track of time. So I'm going to say it right now. I got 15 minutes left. Am I about right? That about right? I'm trying now. Don't shout me down. I'm trying. I can't say it work all the time. All God wants you to do is try. All right, atonement. His blood has the power to reconcile mankind back to God. The thief on the cross had an encounter with the power of the blood of Jesus Christ and was transformed from that of a condemned man into a saint that will dwell with Christ in paradise. Only Christ. There is no soul so gone that the power of the Lord of Jesus Christ cannot transform his sinful nature into the desire for the holiness of God. You might not think that, because there ain't no power in your blood. I remember prior to me getting saved, some of you may have known my testimony. I believe I've finished. Prior to me walking with God, wasn't saved, wasn't looking for God. Extremely wicked. Didn't want nothing to do with God. Matter of fact, I was one that would really, really persecute Christians. Very similar to Paul. I was possessed by demons. Literally, I was. I was possessed by demons. So, you can imagine the wicked that I did. Okay? The evil things that I did. But I remember this day in North Carolina. And my brother had become a Christian, and so did my sister-in-law. Some of you never did anything bad. You always just was a little good. You always were just good, but you never did any major sin. But you're still going to bust hell wide open. So I always say, if you know you're going to go to hell, why go to hell being a good sinner? I mean, if you're going to hell, have fun going. That's my mentality. I'm black and white. I'm either over here or over there. But I remember that day driving to North Carolina. And at this point, I'm working at Tyson Poultries. And I'm actually the drug dealer in the plant. I have my own office and everything, and just selling drugs all up in the place. I was like a chameleon. I could fit in the ghetto. I could get down and talk like a ghetto guy, but I could also be around the educated. I could transform like that. It was wicked. But I remember going to North Carolina. It was a married couple's retreat in North Carolina. And wasn't looking for God, had no desire, won't scared about nothing. But I agreed to go to this married couple's retreat in North Carolina almost going on 39 years ago. And I've been saved now for 38. And I remember going to the retreat. And I had all kinds of drugs at home, liquor and everything. But I remember at the retreaters for a weekend, and they knew I wasn't saved because I was just a street guy. And I know it's hard to believe it now, but see, I've been a work in progress for 38 years. Praise the Lord. I've been a work in progress. for 38 years. You would not have wanted to meet me 38 years ago. I could shoot you. I could kill you. Okay, I'm going to tell you something. And I'll get back to that. After I had gotten saved, a few years after that, the Lord put it upon my heart. Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child, understood of as a child. When I became a man, I put away. Some of you need to grow up. Stop being the victim. Just grow up. Amen. It's time to grow up and take responsibility for your life. I remember calling my parents because I, at this point, I had been walking with God maybe, I don't know, 6-7 years. God put it on my heart to go to my parents. I called them and set up an appointment with them. They thought I was crazy. Told them, boy, you don't need an appointment to talk to us. I said, today I do. Well, I remember going with my wife. We sat at the kitchen table. I'll never forget this. And I just repented for being a bad child. I was really a juvenile delinquent. I was a bad child. Wicked, worse than wicked. Demonic. I was demonic. Literally, I was demonic. So, as we were talking, and keep in mind, I want my family, my parents, I want them to experience the saving grace, the blood of the Lamb of God. And we were sitting at the table, and my father said, son, you almost didn't make it. I said, what you mean? He said, I almost killed you. Amen. No, seriously. He was serious. He said, I literally almost killed you. And I said, what do you mean, Daddy? He said, well, son, we got to arguing one day, and he kept a gun in his bedroom on a shelf in a shoebox, and I knew he kept it there. And he said, this particular day, he and I got to arguing. And he said, I wouldn't back down. I wouldn't shut up. I was just cursing. And I said, I was cursing at you? And he said, son, you always cursed at me. Guess what? I don't ever remember. He said, this particular day, he reached up, got his gun. She was right there. Got his gun. I don't even think I ever told you. That's my best friend, Pastor Ed, whose wife recently passed away. He said he got his gun, pointed it at me, cocked the hammer back, was getting ready to shoot me. He said the only reason he didn't shoot me was because my mom jumped in front of the gun and said, you're not going to kill my baby. Guess what? I don't ever remember. When I don't play with the devil. I believe I have a sense of humor, but I'm telling you, I don't play with the devil because that stuff is serious. People are walking today possessed by demons, folk. And you're trying to deal with it in the natural. You better leave them alone. It'll beat you up like the seven sons of Sceva. I'm telling you. You better know that you know that you know. And you better know the blood of the Lamb of Jesus Christ. You better know the authority of Christ. This ain't fun. This ain't no game, folk. My father told me that on two separate occasions, he was in the yard doing something, and I went driving past the house 50 miles an hour in a 15-mile zone. Few seconds later, cars right on my hind pods. Don't ever remember it. I remember what he told me. Don't believe that possession by demons is real or ain't real. I'm here to tell you, I was possessed by demonic spirits. Getting back to my transformation. that day in North Carolina, one looking for God. On the very last day, I'm sitting at the chair. I'm like, Lord. I ain't say Lord. I ain't say Lord. Because I curse with the best of them. The girl used to get on me all the time. Why is it when you talk on the phone, every other word is a curse word? The very last day, I'm sitting in the chair. I'm sitting there thinking, I'm saying, you at least should have rolled a couple of joints. You should have at least bought a couple of hits of coke with you and put some liquor in the flask. At least you could be tore up around these folk. I'm thinking this is who I was. I'm thinking to myself, they got tamarind now. I got tamarind now. But tamarind, they got tamarinds. Everybody looking in the ceiling. I'm like, these folk crazy. What they looking at? I'm telling you. I'm sitting there like, we get in there and they got the tamarind. Everybody's like, damn. I'm like, these folk insane. I'm like, what are y'all looking at? Well, God knew. God set me up. I don't know how many folk was in there. It was a bunch of folk. All of a sudden, they put on a company tape on holy ground. And a young lady began to dance to holy ground. God, that's what I'm saying. God can do whatever he want to do. Stop telling him what to do, how to do it. God is God all by himself. Ain't no, won't no preacher preaching. Won't no deacon doing nothing. Won't no elder doing an elder stuff. Won't nobody say, the doors of the church are open. Ain't none of that stuff. Let me tell you, them two girls were anointed by God. That music began to play, and that girl began to sing, and that girl began to dance. All of a sudden, I'm in my seat. The Holy Spirit, bam, knocked me out the seat. I've hit on my knees. I'm telling you, I began to scream and cry uncontrollably. I'm talking about screaming at the top of my lungs. All of a sudden, I blacked out. God was performing surgery on this rascal here. My wife told me that I was in that floor screaming and yelling at the top of my lungs for about 45 minutes. I don't remember none of it. I remember the beginning. Then I just blacked out. I'm telling you, when I stood up, it was like 1,000 pounds had been removed from my shoulders. It was like I was blind, but now I could see. We say things that sound cute. The reality of it was I was blind, and now I could see. She wanted me saved. You, some of you heard this, but she will tell you she ain't want me that saved. Because it was a radical transformation. It was really radical. I stopped smoking cigarettes. I didn't have any withdrawal symptoms from any type of drugs. Nothing with alcohol. What was amazing, my speech changed.
Hallelujah.
Now, God does it differently for every person. I all of a sudden just stopped cursing. I just stopped. Going back home, I never talk about God. Going back home, I made them folks so sick. my brother, my sister-in-law, her, the whole time I'm asking them stuff about God, they can't even answer the question. But I'm very inquisitive. When I tell you that this walk is a reality outside of salvation, there is demonic spirits. There are demons, there are devils. Walk with God. Depend upon His strength. Stop trying to fix it yourself. Rely upon the blood of the Lamb of God. Some of your family members are possessed. Just going to tell you that. Demon don't want to possess no dog. No cat. Well, we did have a possessed cat. A cat from hell. Bought that girl a cat one day. We got married. I ain't never had no cat. What a cat. That was dog man. Bought this girl a cat one day because I was going to show I love her. I said, I ain't showing you I love you that way no more. Bought this girl a cat named Polo. Was a tabby cat. Man, that cat grew up, was the meanest animal. We'd walk up the steps and that all of a sudden walk up the step, all of a sudden that cat, boom, and head goes back and bites you. So maybe they possess cats. A wicked animal. But some of your relatives are possessed by demons. Just going to tell you that. Even, see, we got a work to do. It's time out for the baby food for the weak Christians. We got a work to do. Amen. When you became a Christian, you were instantly enlisted in the army of the Lord. Now, some of you still in basic training. You've been walking with God for 30, 40 years. It's time to graduate. Get out the basic training. And grow up. I'm finished and I'm going to share this with you. That the fast that I was on and a few others that were upon it, that was the toughest fast I've ever been on in my entire life. You say, why do you fast? I'll put it to you like this. If it was good enough for Jesus, if Jesus had to do it, we keep saying WWJD, well, kick it in gear. Put it in drive and go on. Or do you just want a little of Jesus? Make up your mind what you want. Mark 9:29, them rascals trying to cast out these demons and everything. Spitting, throwing all, you know what we do. You're spitting, blowing your bad breath in people's face, smacking them upside the head with the Bible, laying hands. You ever had somebody lay hands on you trying to knock you down? I'm like, you better back up from me, and you ain't knocking me down. Only reason I'm going down because the Holy Ghost knocked me down. What does it say? Mark 9:29. Jesus says this, not me. This kind cometh forth. There are some things that require fasting. This kind cometh forth by nothing but by what? So you take that to the Lord. You get mad, take it to the Lord. That's all I got to say about it. That's in the Word of God. Jesus had to do it. God is doing something here. I'm telling you. He's doing something mightily. Let Him do it. Because what He's doing here, it's going to bring liberation to your family. It's going to bring liberation to your friends. It's going to bring liberation to those who are still working in the workplace, to your co-workers, to your bosses, to your friends, to your aunts, to your uncles. Why is that? Because you may be the only Jesus that many of them may see. But how much of Jesus are they seeing within you? Ask yourself that. Lord God, we come and we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time. We thank you, Father God, for liberty. We thank you for your peace and your love. We thank you for salvation. We thank you for the blood of the Lamb of Jesus Christ. Your blood cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And I'm going to ask that if you're really not saved, if you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you can't ever remember a time or a day that you asked Jesus Christ into your life, raise your hand so that I can pray for you. This may be the only opportunity you get. If you really want to be a Christian, you want to be saved, you want to receive, you walk in that joy and that peace that only God can give, raise your hand so that I can pray. Lord God, we thank you for what you're doing. We thank you, Father God, for your Shekinah glory. Lord God, we thank you for visiting us and being with us and talking with us, Lord God, and being by our side. And Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, I want everybody to stretch their hands to Pastor Rick, okay? And Father God, such a wonderful man of God. You stay seated, brother. Father, I just pray your blessings upon him. I pray, Lord God, that your glory would drip from the top of his head to the soles of his feet, Father. I pray your peace over your man's servant, over Pastor Rick, Lord God. I say no weapon formed against him shall prosper. Lord God, we got his back. Lord God, when he's weak, I'm going to hold up his left arm. If ain't nobody over the other side, I'm going to hold up his right arm. And so, Father God, we just stand by him. Lord God, and we call him, we call him victorious in Jesus' name, Lord God. We call him, Lord God, victorious in Jesus' name. We call him victorious in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God. And I bind up every demonic spirit that is trying to come against this brother of God. Pray your peace over him. I pray your peace over him. Let your glory continue to fall. Renew his strength. Renew his strength, Lord. You've heard the cries. You've heard the struggles. Lord God, you've heard it. You've even heard the times that he's gotten mad and gotten angry and got frustrated. We all been there. And so, Father, Lord God, you just do that which you can do, Lord. Only you can do. We continue to plead the blood of Jesus Christ over our pastor. And we say no weapon formed against him shall prosper. And devil, we do put a hedge of protection around and about him. Yes, we put a Holy Ghost hedge of protection around and about this man of God. Guide his footsteps in his path. Lord God, guide his footsteps in every path that he take, Lord. And we thank you for Pastor Rick, Lord God. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Amen.